Our scripture today is from Luke 5, 12 through 16. Once when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them." But now more than ever the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. But he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks, Miss Margaret. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we pray in this moment that you would help us to free our minds of distractions, of the to-do lists, of whatever it was we are coming from and whatever it is that we are going to, and that we would be able to focus on what it is that you have to say to us. We pray that this service would not be, and this moment would not just be about going through the motions of doing church, but that we would be church. And that your message would not just speak to our intellects, but that it would speak to our hearts and that it would be lived out in our lives. Oh God, we come here today not just because it's what we're supposed to do, but because we love you and we want to fall more in love with you. So God, let's talk. Oh God, I pray that you would speak through me, as imperfect as I am, to convey your message to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a fast-paced world. Did you know it?
No.
There's a little bit. And I don't know if it's just because our culture is forcing us to move faster and faster, technology, all those different sorts of things. Or if it's because for the past several years I have lived in the city where I lived out in the country or small town, before that for the most part. But I see others and find myself at times fighting this battle within myself. We're fighting this battle within. The world says, go, 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 go. Get to work. Accomplish. Produce. Or when we're not working and producing, be entertained. When we aren't working on one thing or another, be entertained. But there's something within us that says, I need to slow down. Do you hear that? I need to stop. I need perspective. I need to consult another source of some sort. I need to quiet the noise in my head and calm my heart. We all have it. And we try different things to get centered, to quiet the noise. We exercise. We do yoga. We meditate. We do different things. But all of us, we have this need within us to find peace and slow down in the midst of the fast-paced life we lead. And the reality is that we are created this way. To use the Judeo-Christian terminology, we were created in the image of God. And though We as Christians may also believe that meditation is great and exercise is great and seeing a therapist is great. We also believe that we were created with the absolute need to pray. We are created that way. And when we don't do it, we may not be able to put our finger on it, but there's something that is missing. And the longer that we go without it, the harder life can become for us. Over the past couple of weeks, I asked members of our faith community to fill out a short survey assessing your prayer life. It took less than a minute. And about 31 people surveyed, answered it. And this is where I have the chart for you, Jonathan. And it approximately 39% of respondents said, you pray once a day other than before meals. About 39% of people, that's not the one. It's a different one. And then the other one is that 95% of you pray, even if only rarely, or when someone you know or you are in need. And that's, just forget about it. I have charts, but anyway. Okay, don't worry about it. Miscommunication between a husband and wife. Go figure. But anyway, we were all created with a desire, a natural desire to pray. And you guys show that you do, to some degree or another, pray. But then why are we all still like these little hamsters running around on the hamster wheel on the insides? Why is there so much noise going on inside of our heads? Why is there so much dissonance in our hearts? Why do we say we believe one thing and do another? Why do our beliefs and the faith we profess so easily diverge? Speaking from my own experience, I grew up in the church, I have never in my life met someone who said, you know, my prayer life, it's perfection. Never once in my life have I met that person. If you are that person, I would like to shake your hand after worship service. And then I would like to lovingly explain to you why you're wrong. Now people are not going to shake my hand after worship service. I have a question for you. Why did Jesus pray? Why did Jesus pray? Have you ever pondered that? Why did Jesus pray? Well, the first reason is theological, and that's that there are three persons of the Trinity. Jesus refers to the Godhead as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and so Jesus' prayers are allowing for communication between the three persons of the Trinity while he is in the flesh. He's talking sort of to himself. And the second reason is that Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is both a divine, a divine and a human nature. And as I shared earlier, each of us is created in the image of God with a natural desire to pray, to connect with the divine on some level. And so, Jesus being human and all, he has the same natural desire to pray that we all have. And finally, Jesus prays to set an example for us. If Jesus, who is God in the flesh, the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God, thought it important to pray in order to stay on track, stay centered, stay connected, there's pretty much no argument that can be made that we don't need to make prayer a top priority in our lives. But we still have our reasons why we don't pray, or why our prayer life isn't drawing us closer to God the way that it should. And I would like to talk about those for a moment. Let's just air them out a little bit. You have them, I have them. Reasons not to pray. First of all, we grow cynical when we feel that prayers have gone unanswered. Every night before my daughter goes to bed, we pray. We pray for lots of things, but we have a little bit of a prayer list in the middle of it. And one of the things on the prayer list is Mama's back and neck. I have back and neck problems. I'm always on the prayer list. I don't remember. I've always been on the prayer list. And I keep waiting for the day when Summer's going to be like, seriously, Mom, when's God going to fix this? Why are you still on the prayer list? I'm waiting for that cynicism to kick in a little bit for her. Wondering if it's cynicism about prayer or just about Mama's back and neck. Mama's just cynical about her back and neck. Reasons not to pray. We say things like, I'll keep you in prayer. I'm going to be praying about that. I'm going to add you to my prayer list. Does anyone say anything like that? I'm praying for you. Do you always do it when you say you're going to? No. No. In some level, the reality is the reason we don't do that is because we don't think that prayer makes a difference. Think about it. If we absolutely know that prayer makes a difference, and someone comes to us and says, I'm really struggling with this, are we going to forget to pray about it? We shouldn't. Reasons not to pray. Lori and I were talking about this past week. I suffer from this very badly. Our minds wander. Whose mind wanders when they pray? Raise your hand. Is anyone's hand down? Pretty much just one person's? Yeah. Over there, just one over there. Yeah. Our minds wander. We worry about our to-do lists. Then we feel guilty for wandering and worrying. And then we grow frustrated. And eventually we just give up. Anyone else do that? Yes. Reasons not to pray. We focus so much on the prayer itself. We fuss over whether we did it well or not. Did we worship enough? Did we really mean it? As if there's some perfect formula, like a genie in the bottle. If we do it right, it'll work. Reasons not to pray. We develop prayer lists, which grow stale over time. Anyone ever lose their prayer list? I lose everything. Ask my husband. I'm looking for things all the time. I put things in my phone because that's the one place where I know, like, I will find it. But I lose my phone about 4 times a day, every day. Prayer grows stale, not just because of prayer lists, but we think, man, talking about the same things over and over and over and over again in my prayer time. And then we're left wondering when we pray for someone or a situation and it changes or it's healed, if it just would have happened without us praying. Was that God or would that just have happened on its own? Reasons not to pray. Praying exposes our doubts. It's far easier on our faith not to pray. Another one, when we're on the phone, there's a voice on the other end. I can call up my mama. Hi, Mom. Hi, sweetie. How are you? What are you up to? How's your day been? Let me tell you about all the things that I've been doing in retirement while you've been working all day long. I hate it when she does that. I've been planting flowers in my flower garden, but when we talk to God in prayer, we are talking to air. You think about it, it's a little bit weird. Another reason not to pray. If we believe God can talk to us through prayer, how do we distinguish our thoughts, from God's thoughts? Do we just think this is a good idea, or does God think it's a good idea? You know, when we're meeting at church, do we just all think it's a good idea, or does God given us that idea? It's a little bit difficult to distinguish, isn't it? And why do some people seem to hear God speak to them by the power of the Holy Spirit an awful lot and others not so much? And finally, here's the big one. Reason not to pray. Our trust in ourselves and in our talents makes us structurally independent of God. Paul E. Miller, in his book, A Praying Life, says, one of the subtlest hindrances to prayer is probably the most pervasive. In the broader culture and in our churches, we prize intellect, competency, and wealth because we can do life without God. Praying seems nice, but unnecessary. Money can do what prayer does, and it is quicker and less time-consuming. Our trust in ourselves and in our talents makes us structurally independent of God. As a result, exhortations to pray don't stick. Ouch. But true. No? You guys got quiet. But Jesus took time to pray. God in the flesh, who could actually do it all himself, took the time to stop and pray. Our focus scripture this morning says it, and it says in its final verse, after Jesus had healed the leper, and crowds of people were gathering to hear him and lining up to be healed by him, he walked away from it all. And the verse says, Jesus often withdrew to deserted places to pray. Over and over again, Jesus took time away. He went somewhere off by himself to have a conversation with God. It didn't matter how many people were in line to be healed. It didn't matter how busy or overwhelmed with emotion or in pain or whatever he was. It didn't matter how long the to-do list. Jesus always, and we'll find most especially in these moments, took time to have a conversation with the Creator. He withdrew from whatever was going on, from all the people, and he just prayed. Jesus prayed alone. That's the example he sets for us. One-on-one time with his heavenly parent. As we look at Jesus' journey toward his suffering, death, and resurrection, we see him take alone time to pray. He prays in the morning. He prays before he makes big decisions like choosing his 12 disciples. He prays regularly and naturally. And another thing that he does when he prays alone is that he often prays in nature. He prays in gardens. He prays on mountains. He doesn't doubt if prayer works. He doesn't seem to fuss over what words are used when praying. And you might say, oh, but he taught the Lord's Prayer, and we recite that every Sunday. Ah, but it says, pray then in this way, not pray these exact words. But we're going to pray these exact words later. He hears God clearly in prayer. His prayers don't grow stale over time, and he doesn't attempt to function independently from the Godhead. All of this isn't just because Jesus is perfect. It's because Jesus gets what prayer is really about. So Fridays are my Sabbath. And on my Sabbath day, I usually try to take a really good chunk of time to just spend one-on-one time with my daughter, Summer. And Summer, she knows it. She's like, Friday's coming, Friday's coming. She's like, what are we going to do? And so we'd been talking about it, and she was like, do you want to go do something? Like, you want to go swimming at the Y? You know, you want to spend time together at home? What do you want to do? She's like, I want to go to a store, which is code for Mommy, I want you to go buy me something. And I was like, oh, I'm going to trick you. I'm going to surprise you with something. And the surprise was we were going to Hobby Lobby, which I had never really been to and spent any significant amount of time in and actually bought something. which I'm learning is a mistake to actually go there and buy something. Because we were there for like 2 hours. And my thought was, okay, I'm going to go there and we're going to buy something to do together. We're going to craft. This is going to be great. End of the story is that we came out of there somehow with a pink tutu and an umbrella with flamingos on it. I don't know how that happened. Husband's not surprised. That's what happens when Summer and I go out. But anyway, she can rock the tutu and the flamingos. You guys know her. That's not that surprising. But at any rate, it takes 25 minutes from our house to get to Hobby Lobby. And on the drive, anytime Summer and I are in the car alone together, me in the driver's seat, her in the car seat behind me, looking at her in the rearview mirror, we get to talking. And so it starts off, I don't know even why I ever do this. The radio's on, and I'm driving, and she starts. And then quickly I go, click, turn it off. And she starts asking me questions about things. And so this time we talked about how we live near so much water, and Daddy's parents live in the mountains, and Mommy's parents live in the hills next to all the horses and along the winding roads that we call the roller coaster roads. We won't explain why. You probably can figure it out. We talked about the differences between her different grandparents' houses and how some grandparents live in neighborhoods where everyone lives close together and some don't. We talked about what my childhood was like and why I loved growing up out in the country so much and why I wanted her to experience going out and that culture of being out in the country and growing up out in the woods and around horses and cows and all of that sort of thing and just being able to open up the door and let her go. We talked about our summer vacation plans, and we got very specific about whether we were going to have layovers at any airport or not. And I explained that one of our trips would have a layover one way because we couldn't get a direct flight to Norfolk, and that did meet with Her Majesty's approval. So this is all on a 25-minute drive to Hobby Lobby. And at one point, we fell silent. The radio's off. And Summer, my daughter, she's still smiling from ear to ear this whole time this conversation is going on. And in the midst of the silence, finally she says, "Mommy, you say something, and then I'll say something." And I said, I'm looking in the rearview mirror at this point, and I'm smiling back at her. I said, "You mean let's continue to have a conversation?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, asked her, "Well, what do you want to talk about?" And she said, "I don't know. Just talk." And I think I walked around with a stupid grin on my face for the rest of the day after that. Summer perfectly illustrated what prayer is about. That's not why I walked around with a stupid grin on my face. The stupid grin on my face is because my kid just wanted to talk with me. But she perfectly illustrated what prayer is about. It wasn't really about what the other person was specifically saying. She's not going to remember what I said. Well, she might, but not for very long. It's not about what I said or what she said. It was about spending time together, enjoying each other's company, getting to know each other and drawing closer to each other, falling more in love with each other. It was a child and her parent being in relationship with each other. Conversation is the vehicle through which we experience each other. See what I did there? Because we were in the vehicle when we were having this conversation. Conversation is the vehicle through which we experience each other. When we pray, we often focus on the words we are saying. How many of you do that? I do it. In seminary, I was graded on the words that I put on paper in a prayer. A+. Check+. C. A+. It's easy to get caught up on the words we are saying, but prayer is about relationship. It's about an increasing intimacy between us and God that gives us a glimpse of what eternity will be like. In praying, the focus shouldn't be on how we are communicating. It should be on who we are communicating with. Prayer is simply the medium through which we are experiencing and connecting with God. The focus should not be on how we are communicating, but on who we are communicating with. Summer and I are sitting in the car. I'm not focusing on the exact words that I'm saying. I'm not focusing on how eloquent I'm being. I'm not focusing on the order of things or did I cover everything. I'm focusing on her. And she's focusing on me. And we're falling more in love with each other. A funny thing happens when we pray, focusing on who we are communicating with rather than the words. Our faith grows. The more we pray, the more our faith grows. And the more our faith grows, the more mature our prayers become over time. For instance, if I am humbled by something that happens in my life, I learn how to pray with humility. Oh, Lord, I messed this up. And I need you and I need your grace. And as I learn to pray with humility, I learn to be humble. When we pray, our lives may not become less busy. All of our problems will not be solved, but we find ourselves centered, our insides quietened, which allows us a greater capacity to love as God would have us, which actually makes us more busy, which makes us pray more. In other words, in praying and being in relationship with God, we find our lives being intricately intertwined with who God is, but in a more peaceful way, even if there is still confusion and pressure at times. Over the course of the rest of this sermon series and today, as you have heard, we're going to be talking about prayer. Talking about Jesus' prayer life and what we can learn about it as he journeyed toward the cross, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. We're going to be using Paul E. Miller's book, A Praying Life, to also help us. So between Jesus' life and this book, Praying Life, I'm hoping we're going to get a lot of really practical ways that we can grow in a relationship with God, not just about when to pray and how long to pray, but the content of our prayers and how to grow in relationship with God through prayer. And so I hope that you'll journey with me these next several weeks in growing in our prayer lives. It's so easy for us to just do it ourselves. To rely on ourselves, our own talents, our money. And it's going to be so easy to say, I'll do this, or no, I have no intention of doing this. And to rely on those things. But I promise you, prayer, consistent prayer, persistent prayer over a long period of time makes all the difference in life. And so I have a challenge for you. The first is for the entire season of Lent, all the way up to Easter. The first challenge is that I want you to evaluate your prayer life, where it is right now. And I want you to set a goal, an attainable goal. If you are a person who does not pray at all, don't say, for the entire season of Lent, I am going to pray for half an hour a day. It's probably not an attainable goal. But set just a goal that helps you grow just a little bit in your prayer life, whether it's an increase of time, a set time that you're going to pray every day, that you want to grow a little bit in a specific area in the content of your prayer life, that sort of thing. Maybe you don't know exactly how it is that you want to grow in your prayer life, and it's going to reveal itself to you over the course of this sermon series. But think of a way that you would like to focus each day on growing in your prayer life. And I would like you to accept that challenge. And there's a way for you, I think it's on the bulletin insert, it's also, there's a way challenge. I'm going to be checking in with you, and I'm going to be asking you, how's it going to encourage you along the way. And don't worry, I'm going to be doing it too. And my hope is that together, as a church, we're going to be growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to be growing in our relationship with God through prayer. And I promise you, it makes all the difference in the world. So that's my first challenge for you. It's a little bit longer term. My other challenge for you is for the week. And this challenge is that I want you to focus for this week. I really want you to focus on who you are communicating with rather than the how. In other words, I want you to focus more on who you are communicating with than focusing so much on what you are praying, on the words. Focus on who. Focus on God. Think about the mom in the front seat and the kid in the back seat, and you just want to be together. You just want to talk. You just want to spend time together. You just want to fall more in love with each other. Focus in your prayer time this week on who you are talking to. You know, Jesus, he set an example for us of what prayer can look like, what of a life steeped in prayer can look like. One where we still have struggles, we still have challenges, we still experience pain, we also experience great joy, but in all of it, God walks right beside us. And although there is all of this noise around us, and though we still experience stress, there's the centeredness that is brought to our lives because we are connected to the one we were designed to be in conversation with in the first place. So let's get to talking with the who. And not so worried about the what we're saying. Amen.